Shavuot Tov. We're holding on the first word on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, which is just where we're supposed to be. And Chodesh Tov. Omar Rav, Daf Mem. Tol Baruch. Somebody who, after making the bracha, he hands out the bread. He says, take the bracha. Take the piece of bread that we made the bracha on, hands it out to the mesubim, and otzerich levorech. That's not considered to be a hefsek between the bracha and the achila, because it's clearly part of the presentation. So therefore it's in part of the achila itself. Lemais, it's a very fascinating question here, Bichlal. What is the problem of a hefsek? And it makes a big difference in how one understands it. Tosis brings over here that the nature of hefsek is the concept of hesech hadat. Hesech hadat is always something which breaks the connection between what it is you're doing before and what it is you're doing now. However, there are others who learn that the problem here is not hesech hadat, but rather that you don't have what the bracha to be chal on. Not because of your dat. Well, there's a difference would be, for instance, in one of the famous cases that's brought by the poskim, somebody makes a bracha, and he thinks he's got wine, he actually ends up, it turns out that it's beer, and he makes an bari pragefen. And the question is, now he has to go back now and say another bracha. Whether that's considered to be hafsaka in what he was, you know, say he was in the middle of Abdullah or doing something before, is that considered to be a hefsik? If his mind is on what it is that he's doing, and it shouldn't be hefsek at all. He may have made a mistake, but that has nothing to do with it. He still was interested in the ultimately for his kiddush, his abdullah, whatever the case is. And the same thing would be when it comes to the brachot. It really shouldn't matter a technical definition of what you're doing. What's important is, do you continue to have in mind the fact that you intend to eat? The fact that the Gemara over here makes it dependent on technicalities, as we'll see, implies that it is more like the Groz Pshat, which is the latter Pshat. There needs to be a connection, not in your mind. There's a separate issue of Hesech Hadat, but there needs to be a connection between the bracha, the presence of what the bracha is chal on. And therefore, in cases where it's evident, objectively, Tol Baruch is not a problem, because it is what the bracha is chal on. Forgetting about whether you have this in your mind. So, Eino Tzarich Levarech. On the other hand, if he says, Havei Melach, bring some salt to the table. Or Havei Liftan, bring a dip to the table.
That's after he made the
After he makes the bracha, before he eats the bread. Then Tzarich Levarech. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Afilo Haviu Melach, or Haviu Liftan, Nami in Tzarich Levarech. Because it still is, even though it's not directly what the bracha is about, it's part of the necessity for the pot, to make the pot more suitable for achila. And we try to pretty up the pot as much as possible. But to introduce a separate issue, such as, for instance, gabi l'ture, to put out the animal feed, gabi is to mix the water in the feed, mix the feed for the shor, tzarech levarech. Now there you would have to. Rav Shesha says, even gabi l'ture, even mix the food for the animals, you won't have to be mavarech, because you're not allowed to eat unless you mix the food for the animal. And since Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Asur la'adam she'ochal, kodem she'itein ma'achal v'emto, shenema v'natati esev b'sadcha l'vemtecha, and only then v'achal ta v'savata, so first you have to put out the food for the animals, then you're allowed to eat, it would turn out that this too is letzorech the achila, and therefore it's part of the bracha. The question is, what is the machloket? I mean, are they disagreeing in Rav Yehuda? Is our original pshat over here that according to, not according to Rav Shesha, so Rav Shesha says he also like Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yochanan, the gabi l'ture would in fact be a hafsaka because you don't have to feed the animal, is that the point? Or is it that, as many learn, if I say gabi l'ture, although it's necessary for the meal, it has nothing to do with the bracha at all. It's a side issue which prevents me from eating. Then maybe that is dependent on the issue of hesech hadat already, right? In other words, Perhaps that may be what we're talking about, because the man is saying gabala turei because obviously he intends to eat. He realized, oh my God, I didn't feed the shore, I shouldn't be eating. On the other hand, in terms of the direct connection to the bracha, it's a completely external question. It has nothing to do with the actual bracha and what is it I'm eating. So it may well be that the issue of how to understand the nature of the hefsek is actually a function of which pshat we take here in the Gemara. By the way, there's a question as to why it says all of these things twice. Right? Say, gabala turei, gabala turei. What if you said it once? Someone will bring a raya that the din of hafsaka is three words. Because what is shalom alecha rabbi, in terms of the shiur of what's considered to be Toch Kedei Dibur, Afer Kedei Dibur. And they claim that that's the reason that the Gemara repeats it, because if we've only had two words, it wouldn't be a hefsek anyway. So it's not because it's not a hefsek in the bracha. It's because stop, you didn't say enough. However, it seems pretty clear from the Rishonim that
otherwise you're saying Hava Melech alone would be okay.
No, even if you would say bring coke, it would be okay, because only two words,
right,
according to
one.
Yeah,
or,
it's insane, so you don't want to use that as an example, because it wouldn't prove anything. But it's dafka because the Melech is Nogea. But it's pretty clear from the Rishonim.
You're saying it was that cheshbon would be, it was dafka saying those four words. We would almost
in that case,
a melech, that would be okay.
Right. You keep saying that, but I assume you're referring to the first, because it is okay. I'm saying you're referring to the first one.
Right,
yeah,
right,
it's
yeah,
just confusing me a little bit there. Omar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Abichia. Actually, he shouldn't even make the bracha unless everybody has something to dip in. Of course, in those days they had separate tables, you know, so each one had his own little serving table and so on. You don't want people to be making a hafsaka by asking to pass around the melach, and therefore supply it to everybody. Rava Bar Shmuel, equal of Eresh Galusa. Rava Bar Shmuel once came to the house of the Eresh Galuta to eat. Afikulei Rifta. They brought him out pot. Ubatsala Adei, and he went ahead and he didn't even wait for them to bring out the melach. He simply went and he made his bracha without having a dip. Omrulei. So they said to him, now wait a minute. You're the guy who says that, you're supposed to have, was Rava Bar Shmuel. You're supposed to have melach in front of everybody. Now we put you down, give you some bread, and you're the one who goes ahead and doesn't even wait for the melach. Have you had a change of heart? Hadar mar mishmaite, amar lohu leit dein tzarech boshesh. Bread of this quality needs to wait on no one, because the only reason we have the melach is really in order to improve the taste of the bread. But such delicious challah like I get over here at the Rish Galusa's Rebbetzin, you know. Not necessary to dip it in melach.
Has melach in it?
That isn't necessary to say. It's not because of the need for melach in terms of melach al shulchan, like melach on the karbonis and so on. It's simply the quality. There's an interesting tosis that brings that there's another inyan of the melach over here. And it brings from Rabbeinu Menachem that used to be very makbet to have melach on the table, and that's because there's a medrash that says that when Klal Yisrael washes, what happens is, you know how you sit around waiting for your kids sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it's just, it's awful. So meanwhile, the sultan is mekatre, you know, because nobody's doing anything. And you're fuming, and the kids are chattering, and nobody's being Isaac and Mitzvahs. And the sultan is mekatre. It's okay, so have melach brit. Medrash says this. Melach brit is something that is shomer on Yisrael. So it's brit melach olam. So you put down salt, and it should be a memory of the brit.
Is that the source of the saying,
the
idle hands?
Well, no, actually that's a Mishnah. Yeah. It's a she'imum mevili de'erva. Actually, you never should be idle.
The salt is for the karbonis.
Yeah, that's a different issue.
They never brought karbonis at night, so why do they need salt?
Hinochinami. We're not bringing it because we're bringing it liyafa to tapat. We're not bringing it in terms of the dinim of karbonis here. Amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rebechia. Once we're on the Rava Bar Shmuel's practical applications, Ein meraglaim kalim ela biyeshiva. If you want to really make sure you empty your bladder, you should be sitting. Now, this is not because sitting is better for emptying bladders, because it obviously isn't. You empty your bladder better when you're standing. And the point is that psychologically you don't empty your bladder when you're standing, because, again, in those days you didn't have toilets, and so what you were talking about was afraid of getting splattered by any dribbling and so on. So because of that, you would perhaps not wait until you emptied your bladder. There would be no concern. However, if, this makes it clear that that's the issue, if you have afratichoach, which is very absorptive, just like a sand, won't splatter. So there, afilu b'amidah. In fact, ileka afratichoach, since it's unhealthy to be in the middle of urination, not to complete it, yamod b'makom gavoa v'yashtin b'makom midron. There's always an eitzah, which we had earlier in the Masechta. Stand in a place which is higher, so that you, where it is that the urine flows is downhill. Every time you finish eating, have a little salt at the end. Whatever you're drinking, have a chaser. And that way, you'll make it out alive. We have this in a bright as well. Tanya idach. Someone who ate whatever it was he was eating and didn't have a little bit of salt. Shata kol mashkin v'lo shata mayim. It depends when you do this. During the day, you should be concerned for halitosis. You need a little bit of water to wash down that fruit. So yidag min reach hapeh. U'belayla yidag mipnei askra. If this is at night and you jam up your intestines and what happens is you can get askra. Askra is, it starts in the name of Yayim and ends up choking you. There's some type of diphtheria, which is... Then Rabban. Hamakfeh achilato b'mayim. Somebody is kofeh, meaning he floats his achila with water. In obali decholi mayim. There's enough water there, then it's going to ease digestion. So you should float your food, so to speak. V'kama, when we mean that, what's the proportions? Amar Rav Chisda, Kiton lepat, should have a pitcher of water for every loaf of bread. Omrev Mori, Omrev Yochan, Haragil ba'adashim, Machat v'shloshim yom.
Rambam say the opposite, not to.
That's to mix, over here it's afterwards. Afterwards, yeah. Floated after you ate it, not talking in the middle. Not to mix, yeah. It's not talking about mixing.
Right after
you eat. After you eat. Someone who makes certain that he's got adashim at least once every 30 days, you know. Monem askra mitoch beto. That's very, very good for your digestion. You won't end up getting askra. Don't do it too often, though. I will call you malov. My time is shunda kashal areach hapeh. We certainly don't want you to be turning off the people you're talking to. V'yomer of mori, yomer of yochran. Haragil b'chardal achat l'shloshim yom. A nice big slob of mustard every 30 days, good thing. Moneh acholayim mitoch beito avoko yom alo. Not good to have too much mustard. My time is the kashal achushad oliva. Makes your heart a little weaker. Amr b'chia barash yomarav. Haragil b'dagim ptanim. Eat those little herrings. You'll never have any stomach trouble. Kippers.
Or sardines.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. I was afraid someone was going to say that. Veloot, elashidagim ptanim mafrinu marbinu mavrin kogufoshadam. I mean, really, it just takes care of your whole system. Nothing better than having a little bit of goldfish swallowing. Omer upchama barebi chanina. Harogyo beketzach. How do they say ketzach in English? They just started marketing these.
It's a stalk or something, isn't it?
No. It's like a seed. They started marketing it now. They were serving it on El Al in the latest.
Yeah.
What was it in English? Very, very distinctive taste.
Of what?
They started now a snack, Ketzach snack. And they were giving them out to make them fashionable. They were giving them out for free to El Al.
Oh, let's put it like this. Tam-tam like a mazonos?
A little tam-tam that was had ketzach on it, but I forgot what the English name is. No.
Pesta? No.
It's a pesta. But it's not round.
Seinuch.
The green thing you're talking about?
No, like seinuch.
It flew out of my mouth. I'm trying all day to
remember what it is.
It's
similar to rye. Isn't it the flavor?
No. It's much sharper than
rye. But it's similar.
It translates
to similar. How do they?
Fennel.
Fennel. That's it. It is fennel. It says what it said on the label. That's right, fennel. Thank you. That's great. Where'd you get that?
In Rabbi school.
Ah, okay. Very good. So, yeah. So anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So Ketzach, if you eat a lot of Ketzach, you end up not coming L'day Ke'ev Lev. You save yourself those heart pains. Meiser, Rupshim Gamliel Loma, doesn't Rupshim Gamliel see that Ketzach is one of the 60 most dangerous poisons? and if you want to sleep to the east of a pile of Ketzach, when the wind is blowing usually, you know, during the night, blowing from the west, you know, you're just responsible for your own death. I mean, sitting there breathing in that stuff, you know, you'll never wake up. Lokasha berecho betamo. The taste is great, but I mean, inhaling the stuff is not good. There's a lot of stuff like that, right? Ime de Reb Yirmiya. You know, I never inhale. So,
I wrote in the margin 7.5 years ago.
Oh, what'd you write?
Fennel.
Oh, you wrote fennel. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, the English is something like melantin,
isn't it? No. Ime de Reb Yirmiya. Now, Reb Yirmiya's mom used to bake him bread with ketzach. She put ketzach on the top, let the bread absorb a lot of that yummy ketzach taste, but then she peeled off the ketzach because she didn't want her son breathing in the smell of the ketzach. So she took it off so he wouldn't inhale it, but it's good for eating. Reb Yirmiya Omar Bore Mine de Shai. Next thing we had in the Mishnah is after we listed the various brachot, we found that when it came to Yerakot, Reb Yehuda says, no, it's not so poshut. It's not just the Bori Pri Adama. We saw before that the Zra'im, he also has a special bracha for. When it comes to greens, Shmeika bracha on greens, Desha, Borim Le Desha. Om Reb Zera, Vitem Reb Chanina Bar Papa, in Halakha Reb Yehuda. We don't pass him like that. My time at Rebbe, you don't understand where Rebbe is coming from. He learns it out from the Pasuk where it says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Now what do you mean Yom Yom? Why are we stressing Yom so much here? Every day is different. It's Rosh Chodesh. You should be making special brachot for Rosh Chodesh. Make sure that your brachot and your tefillot reflect Rosh Chodesh. If it's Shabbat, you should be saying brachot of Shabbat. Don't just generically be mevorach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if, by the same token, Hachanami kol min v'min, ten lo me'ein birchotav. There's also something special about giving non-generic brachot. The more defined the bracha is, that's the better bracha. And therefore, it's not just to say Borei Pri Adama is very, very loose. The Amr Rebbe Zera V'Temer Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa Bo Re'ei Shaloki Midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar V'Adam. Midat Basar V'Adam. When you're talking about people who inhabit a physical universe, then if you have space, that space can hold things. If you fill up the space can't hold any other thing. Because the space is basically defined that way. It's a function of halal. So if it's empty, then you have what you call space, which is why we mix the two words. We use the word space for an empty place within something else, and also for the three-dimensional thing that we live in. So that's the idea of physicality. Mashenken HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Ken is the exact opposite, because if you're talking about the equivalent idea of space, that is to say a context for something, then that context for something is better served by having it defined by what you call in it. So in other words, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malay maksik, rekane no maksik. The more full it is, the more contextually it's defined itself as being a space for the thing that you want to put in it, correct? So in other words, if you have now someone who is a chacham, so if you're talking about that type of space, then obviously you've contextually defined more space for chokhmah, not less space for chokhmah. Right? So it works in the opposite direction. Therefore, the more chokhmah you have, the more room you have for chokhmah, not the less room you have for chokhmah. And therefore, you have a kli that is reikan, doesn't have space for anything. Shenemar vayomer im shamoa tishma. What's the shamoa tishma? Im shamoa tishma. Vim lav lo tishma. In other words, you need to have made some preparation to create the context that allows for the shmiya. Or there's another approach to the baracha. Im shamoa biyashan tishma bechadash. We continue to look at what you've already understood, and you derive new things from it all the time, then you'll constantly be open to the new. But if you don't hear anything from what you've had, and you find that above chai, you're bored by it, now you're turning away to other concerns, shuv lo tishma, you will not ever learn anything new. Sabajash?
Zuk da heilike mishnah.
Birechal perota ilan bore pri ha'adama yatsa. Actually, if you set a borei pri adama even on fruits of a tree, even though it's a more generic bracha, it's less well-defined, but since ultimately it's correct in that everything is going to be drawing from the ground, you would be yotze. In the other direction, it doesn't make any sense. The call perot haaretz borei pri ha'etz lo yatsa. V'al kulam imamar shakol niyeh bedvaro yatsa. Now, the simple way of understanding this, if you read the Mishnah naively, is that the most generic bracha, shakol niyeh bedvaro, this you say after a long Shabbat like that? Would you have grandchildren crawling over all that? I always look forward to Matzei Shabbos particularly because Richie's all alive there. It's the only time in the week that I see him. He comes. Yeah. This is like it's like an ongoing sitcom. I meet people all over the world that ask me about Richie. They never met him. Honestly, they have no idea who Richie is, but they've got this whole image of him. That's literally a sitcom. They said they love to tune in because they need to know what you have. So when we get the video camera in here, it'll be even more fun. I was always thinking, what's the point of putting the Daf Yomi on a video feed? But now I realize we don't have talking heads, we have a sitcom. So there's another way to understand this, beyond simply saying that the most generic bracha is the shakol. And we'll see it makes nafgaminas, mahalacha, in case of safek and things like that. We treat shakol differently. If you look at the language, the first two cases it says birech or birech. At the end it changes it. It doesn't say im birech shakol niyeh bedvaro al hakol yatsa, the way it says birech al perot ha'ilan. It's mashma that shakol niyeh bedvaro actually is a bracha that was made to cover everything. In other words, we haven't yet introduced the idea of shakol as a particular bracha. We're going to in the next Mishnah, the end of this Mishnah, where we'll talk about what bracha you make on cheese and on milk and on meat and so on. That's the bracha shakol. I mean, this idea of shakol is a different shakol, according to some. It's the bracha that's good for everything. So that it was not only mitukan for meat and so on and so forth.
It's a default.
It's a default bracha. Yeah.
The word imamar you're talking about?
Yeah, the word imamar.
Why did this say imamar? Because it's not yet a bracha?
Because lechatchila we want you to make a more specific bracha. But if you say it, this is also good. But it's not that you made a mistake like the other cases. You know, bireich al. That's not the point. Imamar, if you, in other words, if you chose to use this nusach, so it's also good. Mantana de Iker Ilan Arahi. Now, who is the Mandiomer in the Mishnah that's saying that we can view Peirot that come from the eights directly as Peirot Ha'adama? Omer Nachman Bar Yitzchak seems to be Rabbi Yehuda. It's not. Yavash Hama'ayan v'niktsatsa Ilan mevive eino kore, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer mevive kore. Somebody is bringing his Peirot to the Beit HaMikdash, and after he takes off his Peirot and he's got them all ready to bring for Bikurim, someone cuts down his tree. So now he's going to be walking into Beit HaMikdash. Is he going to be Korin? Is he going to be Moda La'aretz Atova that he no longer has? Because after all, I mean, the Aretz that he's presenting these fruits from no longer exists if we view the eight as the mode of the creation of the fruit. So there we have a machloket because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, nonetheless, you still may be the Korin. Because there's nothing wrong with talking about the Aretz, because actually the Ikar of the Eitz anyway is the Aretz. So he's the one who would be saying, Borei Pri Adama is perfectly okay to say, right? Actually, the Lashon over there is Adama, Adama Shenatata. So it's literally the same Lashon as the Bracha. Al Perot Haaretz, by the way, there's some question as to what does Yavash HaMayan have to do with it? I mean, that's secondary. That what you had a Mayan, so it's a, now you'll put an artificial piping. I mean, that's the issue. That's not really the same idea at all, is it? Tosis brings that the Yavasha Mayan may indeed not be really connected to the Sugya, at least if we understand Tosis correctly. There's some who think Tosis is talking about both cases. But he says the problem of the Yavasha Mayan is that it looks as if you're complaining rather than being thankful. You know, God, I really thank you for that great piece of crap and land that you gave me. That's basically what it sounds like you're saying. So therefore, we want to avoid that kind of thing. But that's a second issue. We have two separate things here that we're talking about. Al perot haaretz, and if you say al perot haaretz borei pri haaretz, you're not yotze. I mean, obviously you're not yotze. I mean, how, any stretch of the imagination, think that if you say borei pri haaretz, that has something to do with what you're eating, a vegetable. Pshita. Amram Nachum Bar Yitzchak, not so fresh. We're not talking about any old vegetable. We're talking about wheat. And it's reference over here to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds that wheat is a type of tree. How do we know that? Because the Tanya, Ilan She'achal Mimeno Adam HaRishon. What was the Eitz Hadat? So Rabbi Meir says, look, it's got to have been a Geffen, because Ein Lecha Davar She'bivi Yelalal Adam Eloyayim. The only thing that really screws people up in both directions, it's a das tovara, is wine. There must have been something to do with wine. So that was the origin of the Yalala, was mortality itself. Shenehemar, vayesht min hayayin, vayishkar, that's all vay in Yalala. Reb Nechemia Omer, what was a teina? Makes more sense it was a teina, doesn't it? Because, I mean, why did they choose fig leaves to cover Adam? Since it says, I mean, it's clear, Shibadavar shenit kalkalu bo nitaknu. The thing that was used for falling is what was used for fixing, which is the way it always is. Shemra vayitfuru aleit eina. So since the only awareness of nakedness was from the Eitz Hadat, must be that the Eitz Hadat was the teina that was used then to cover the Adam. This is in the Hasidic circles, this is a major nekuda, in that every person's chisaron is the root of his great tikkun. And I use this gemara. In other words, the thing which is your greatest problem is the special thing that you have in you that can be metaken you. There's another pshat, which is the medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take leaves from different trees. No tree agreed. He ain't going to use my leaves for that idiot. Of course, the Teina was, of course, an accomplice in the crime. So, of course, why not? There you go. So it must have been a Teina. It's a very different approach.
Remember you mentioned an apple?
Apple. Nobody. That's it, only the computer company is the dots of the so that company. the real reason that it's Apple.
Everybody says Apple.
Yeah, the real reason that it's Apple is because it's a mistaken translation of Etrog. The original, the Apple, Tapua, Etrog is translated as Tapua, always. And over there it's Etroga. The Lashon of Tava Yilei Naim, that's a Lashon from Etrog. So that there is a Mandiomer who says Beferish Etrog. So Tosfos says Etrog is what we call Tapuach, not what's Tapuach today, an apple. It's the Etrog, which is Tafua. And that's where you got apple from. And the Mandiomer holds the Yetzadat is the Etrog. So it's Ketapuach Batzei Hayar. All of those drushes about Klal Yisrael.
I mean, Etrog.
It's an Etrog.
Is an Etrog. So actually, we could sue that computer company and get the right little thing on the keyboard. Etrog. It's even a better approach. But I mean, that was a wonderful insight into the nature of the Eitz Hadaat and where computers were going to take you. I mean, that was the idea.
Yeah.
A bitten apple. That was the point. It's dot.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. What do you think? Steve Jobs is an idiot?
He's a rich idiot.
I should be such an idiot.
And the fake room were there.
Yeah. Next door. It was terrible. Garage down the street. Heartbreaking.
California.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where he got it.
No question. Absolutely. So okay, it was Te'ena. Now here's the part that's important to us. That's Rav Yehuda Shita. Rav Yehuda Omer Chita Hayta She'ena Tinok Yodea Likrot Abba Ve'ima Ad Shitum Ta'am Dagan. You know that a child learns how to speak his first words at the point that he's eating cereal approximately. So therefore, cereal is connected to Dibur, which is of course a function of Da'at, and as it was in Gan Eden. And that's it. There's your proof. But anyway, you can't say it's chita if it says in the Torah Beferish that they ate from an eitz, and chita you're saying is not an eitz. So clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chita is an eitz. In which case, you would think that if you were mevorech on a chita borei priya eitz, you would be yotzei. And therefore, so salgadatech amin hol v'omer Rabbi Yehuda chita min ilanu b'diavad, you could say borei priya eitz. Kamashmalan, that when it comes to the dinim of brachot, heichem evarchin on borei priya eitz, the only thing that qualifies as an eitz for dinim brachot is heichem dit ki shakalta le lepere ite le gavza v'hadar mafit. If when you pick the fruit, you leave over gavza, now that's a whole question what that means, but let's assume for a moment you leave the branch, Rich, and then the branch will bring forth new fruit. Same branch will bring forth new fruit next year. That's a tree. Avalecha dechishakalte leilapere leiti legavza. If, however, in pulling off the fruit, you leave it without a branch that is now going to be haramafik, that will now bring out new fruit, lo mevachin ala borei priha eitz, ela borei priha adama, and this defines the nature of a tree. Now there's three different approaches to what this means. Rashi uses over here the Lashon of Gavza. He says Gavza is the Anaf of the Eitz. Many take this as meaning literally, the Anaf. So the Anaf, the branch, branch itself. So in other words, you have many trees where the branches, indeed, are just extensions of fresh kind of leafy kind of extensions that you don't find after the season, but there's still basically a trunk which then spreads out again next year. According to Rashi, some want to claim that wouldn't be enough. You need to have a standing branch, you need to have an anaf. There are others who learn, including the Ramah, that even if the Rosh, it's really the Rosh Hashitah, even if you've got a root system that will put out a new tree, like a banana, of course, that that would be sufficient, even though you don't see anything. And according to that, it would be a borei priya eitz, because as long as you don't have to replant it, it's a perennial, then it would still be Ha'etz. Then you have another sheet of the Geonim, that if you have a trunk without the branch. So, so we have what appears to be three different sheetot over here to discuss in our our Friday review.
The captain is just the trunk. Like the branches.
No, that's not quite true. There are new branches, but there's also branches that remain. Okay, so there's another fascinating lesson over here. The other question is, what about bushes? Bushes certainly satisfy this requirement. So in other words, you have various berries. I mean, you ought to make a bari priya eitz according to this. And there are those, nonetheless, who hold that anything that is less than three tefachim high is batel to the ground by definition, because it's sort of lavut to the adama. So it can't become an exceptional tree. It's just adama, and you would make a bari priya adama. There's an interesting Yerushalmi that talks about the difference of an atad. Atad is bushes, various types of thorn bushes, but they're talking about edible bushes, which Tosis brings over here. The difference between atad being no kelayim in a kerem, because it's a tree, and yet when it comes to making a bracha, it's an adama. So those, we have different criteria for the definitions of tree for different things. And when it comes to bracha, indeed, a lot of it is dependent on the way we relate to it. That's the whole point of the bracha. In which case, a purely technical definition is not what's in order over here.
The fact that Koya Karen was Kisa with the classical Kisa with Gavinism arrived at a phase.
No, because it's special halacha. Yeah. The Al Kulam. Ima Marsha Kol Nie Bidvaro Yotze. Says Raguna, well, no, it's not quite on everything. I mean, not for bread and not for wine. Because the bread and wine are unique. We know that bread and wine, the Gemara is going to say later on, bread and wine is not simply that they have a more chash of a bracha. Actually, there's a machlokas we're trying to understand what Raguna Sheet is. But Rashi references the Gemara later on, which is fascinating, that points out that bread and wine force their own brachas. Meaning that even if you don't want to eat them, you have to eat them. Well, you're going to a wedding. They're going to be making birchat chatanim on wine, whether you want to or not, whether you're in the mood to drink wine. You just said Abdullah. So in other words, where the bracha is triggered by the thing, and if it forces you to make the bracha, that's a completely different type of bracha. It's not that I'm making a bracha because I want to eat this. And so I need to have, therefore, a different relationship to it. Because so the bracha is fundamental.
In that case, it's without hana'ah altogether?
No, you can't say that. But nonetheless, that idea itself shows that there's more to it than just your relationship to the thing. Okay, whereas, look, Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu pat v'yayin. Could this be dependent on an old machlo ketanoi? Ra'a pat. Somebody sees a piece of bread and says, wow, kamana e patzu. Wow, that is a really beautiful piece of bread. Baruch ha-makom shebar a. Yatsa. His yotze is bracha. Ra'a te'ina.
And he says, before he eats it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it's before or after. Ra'ate inav amar, wow, kama na'ate inazo, baruch ha-makom shebara, yatsa, the Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yosef says, no. Kol mishanem imadbea, shetavu chachamim, bebrachot lo yatsa yadecho vato. You can't change the nusach of the chachamim and come up with your own medrash. You know, they like to do that today. You come up with your own brachas, you have a new way of looking at it, you know. So now it would appear that Rav Huna is makbid on the way it's specific, and therefore yells like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan, who says, well, no, it doesn't matter, he's going according to Rabbi Meir. Amar lecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna could say to you, no, of course everyone would agree with me, I wouldn't be saying my shita only according to one man the Amar. Ana the Amar afilu Rabbi Meir. I mean, Rabbi Meir was saying there, that what you did was a proper bracha because you made your comment about the thing that you're going to eat. You were talking about bread. You said, what a beautiful piece of bread. Are you talking about a teina? He said, what a beautiful teina. When you say shakol ni'a b'dvaro, you're not saying beautiful anything. And that's what I'm saying. You have to at least mention the thing. I mean, I'm saying Rabbi Meir would agree on with that too. Aval hechad aloka matkish made the pot. You didn't even bother mentioning the bread. You're just talking about the briah as a whole. Maybe Rabbi Meir would agree to me. Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, I mean, it may well be that Rabbi Yossi is right over there, but of course, I'm saying that even according to Rabbi Yossi, I mean, all Rabbi Yossi said over there is because you said a bracha that doesn't exist, right? The Rabbanu never were mitzakein a bracha that goes, what a beautiful piece of bread, blessed is the Lord who made it. There's no such bracha. So you made up a new bracha. But over here, when you say shakol ni'abidavot, it's an extant bracha. You're applying it, perhaps, in the wrong place. But maybe Rabbi Yossi would be motivated that that's not called mishaneh mimadbeya shetavu chachamim. It's a completely different issue. And therefore, let's not confuse these two machlokasim. Binyamin Raya, Binyamin was a famous shepherd, Korach Rifta, he would eat his bread and he would say, Brich morei dahai pita. And that was basically good enough for him. Blessed is the Lord of this bread. Omar Rav Yatsa, that's good bracha. What? Rav is the one who says, Kol bracha she'in ba haskarat Hashem. I mean, he didn't even say, he said, morei. Morei is like the owner. I mean, it's not, there's no divinity associated with that. He says, if he doesn't have a haskarat Hashem, then ain't a bracha? Well, anyway, he said, Brich Rachmana, morei dahai pita. Now, Rachmana, this is a fascinating issue because it's very, very nogea. For instance, how about if you say Hashem? Now, your kid says Baruch Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, because that's how you've taught him. Is that going to be less than Rachmana? Rachmana is only a kinui for God, right? And many taina, that the point over here is that Rachmana, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah paskens this. If you would substitute the word harachaman for the word God in the bracha, you wouldn't be yotze. Because harachaman is not Allah. It's Allah harachaman. In other words, it's a midah of God, you're saying. The merciful. But if you say rachamana in Aramaic, that's how you say God in Aramaic. So brich rachamana is saying, blessed is the Lord. Is that saying the Rachaman? That's interesting. In other words, each language would be very specific. There's the question. I mean, nowadays that Hashem has become a word for God, it's the Muslim takeover of the world that has done that. But it's become Hashem. Everybody said, look at all the art scrolls. They have brought us to Hashem all the time. So the question is whether now is that a is that a translation of God?
You know, the Muslims say that before they eat.
What?
They say something in Rahman.
Yeah, but that's because the Allah is the Rahman.
So, we're talking about a bracha achrona here, right?
Well, yes. In fact, we are. The Gemara is going to ask.
Oh,
what?
No,
we don't know that yet. So ask the Gemara. I mean, we're assuming over here that it's after he eats. Ask the Gemara b'habeinon shalosh brachot. Wait a second. I mean, that's about the shortest Birkat HaMazon I ever heard. You know, what happened to the other stuff? You know, Noda, Brit, Torah, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, Oretz. You didn't say any of it. So, no. Mayatza de kamarav nami yatza yedei bracha rishona. A bracha rishona here, it means rishona of the three. Not bracha lifnei achilato. It's not called a bracha rishona. It's become now a borrowed term to use the word bracha rishona to mean the equivalent of a bracha as opposed to bracha achrona. But the Rosh points out that, of course, this would be good for what we call a bracha rishona as well. Mm-hmm. Bracha lifnei achilato. Yeah. So it means the first birkat hazan, you said, brich rachmana more dahai pita. Actually, we'll see, according to those who learn that you need to have a haskarat malchut, as well as haskarat Hashem, which we didn't bother bringing up here, that the correct nusach, as Rashba points out, is that according to those shitas, obviously we weren't metaken only to say brich rachmana, but rather brich rachmana malka de alma, mora dahai pita. It's funny. I had cousins in Williamsburg. That's the way their parents taught them to make brachas when they were kids. Really strange. The Pincuses. Remember, I was shocked as a kid when I would come in, and this is what they would be mavara. Bria kachmana malkan yom mavara da high pita. Yeah.
As little kids.
As little kids. Yeah. Shimshon Pincus. That's how he grew up making brachas.
And then, at what point did they tell him differently? Bar mitzvah.
I don't know. That much I don't remember, but I remember the mother always used to go pita at the end. The other kids into the brachas, but maybe just to avoid, you know, using Shema Shema, what I would I assume. But.
It's talking about blessing the bread.
For that, you need to pay the rabbi. I mean, that's what the OU is for, isn't it? As far as I know. So then, if that's the, so now, if you talk about bracha rishona, I mean, what's the chiddush then? So the Maika Mashmalan. Is the Kiddush that because you said it in English, or in here you said it in Aramaic? So, Alpha Gav the Amr Balashon Chol, I mean, that's a Parasha Mishnah. Tanina. Elu Ne'amarim Bechol Lashon, Parashat Sota, Vidui Maaser, Kriyat Shema, Tfila, Birkat HaMazon. I mean, so why, what's the Kiddush? I don't need Rav to tell me that I can say it in Aramaic. No, because Salkadatech, I mean, Hanimilo the Amr Balashon Chol, Kiechat Tekinu Rabbana Balashon Kodesh. Here, and we mentioned this earlier, that there was a big shaila about this question. What was I in the middle of saying? Gosh. Yes. This we mentioned earlier, the question about whether if you're davening in another language, can you really say something that is more romantically acceptable in that language? Do you need to translate word for word, or is it the idea that counts once you're going into another language? In this Gemara, it's clear that that's the Chiddush. You're certainly not translating the bracha. I mean, the bracha is hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, and they say, what a beautiful piece of bread, or morei da'aypita. I mean, that's not, it's not a translation. It's a tremendous Chiddush. Now, when we say b'chol lashon, we do not mean translated b'chol lashon. We mean the idea b'chol lashon, which is a general idea. That's a big finish. That's a kamashmalan. So I would have thought that a lo amra b'lashon chol in the same way ki hechet tatakin rabbanu b'lashon kodesh emalo, maybe you wouldn't be yotze kamashmalan. And this actually would be strong grounds for the type of translations that you find in Reform Sidurim and so on. That would be suitable really in order to be yotze chiyav according to this. So a lot of discussion is for Moshe as well as Tshuva about it. But here, certainly from this sugya, the Chiddush of Rav, it's Mashma Legabi Birkota Ne'anin, at least, we don't need a word-for-word translation. Gufa Amar Rav. Kol Bracha.
Inba. So what, you know, you have to have a deeper understanding of what is the crucial word or two you do have to get. I mean, like...
Huh? Yeah, I mean, that's what the Tshuvas are about. But from the Gemara, it's not much, but you need to have Askaras Pat and Askara Tashem. And that's about it. Because that's what we're asking. Otherwise, we could have asked a lot of things in the plan. Because then maybe you need Askara Samotzi. Kobracha Shem Baskara Tashem, Rav said, Eina Bracha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The shame is not enough. Kol bracha she'im b'malchut eina bracha, just to say Baruch Atah Hashem and not to say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam is no good. Omer Abaye kavati d'Rav mistavra. It makes more sense to say like Rav, that it's enough to say the Shem Hashem. The Tanya, lo avarti mi mitzvotecha v'lo shachachti, if we're on the topic of vidui ma'aser, it says over there, lo avarti mitzvotecha v'lo shachachti. So lo avarti means lo avati milavarech, velo shachachti milaskir shimcha alav. It doesn't say milaskir malchutcha alav. So apparently all that's necessary is shimcha not malchutcha. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that, look, say velo shachachti milaskir shimcha malchutcha alav. I mean, that's basically the same idea. That's the question of whether when we said before, Boruch Hamokom in the Te'ina. Does Hamokom already include Malchut? Sabajash,
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ve'al davar she'en gidulo min ha'aretz, omer she'akol nieh bedvarois. It's a strange way of creating the Mishnah by mentioning the she'akol first as a default bracha, unless indeed there are two dinim in she'akol. So, al davar she'en gidulo min ha'aretz, omer she'akol nieh bedvarois. Furthermore, this is fascinating, something that already had its bracha defined as a special bracha, such as wine, which now became vinegar, you no longer make an ala gefen on the vinegar. So ala chometz, you're going downhill now. And for that matter, ala novlot, which we'll see are also things that would have had their own bracha, ala gobai. Gobai is locusts. You just have these people from Thailand running around with big garbage bags collecting in the recent locust infestation. They ate them for months afterwards, pickled them, and salted them. This was great. Anyway, so if you're going to be eating any of those, the bracha is shehakol. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't make any bracha on these things. Because koshu min kilala ein bevorchin alav. Something that comes as a klala is not something that one makes a bracha. But it's absurd to make a bracha. What are you saying? You're going to say, Shakol ni'ebid v'ron, we'd like more of these? I mean, what, you want another locust infestation, maybe? You want more of your wine to turn into vinegar?
Is this just on the locust you're talking about?
Actually, some learning is not talking about the locust. But the passage is going on all those. See in the Gemara. How you look on mini marbe? How about if you have a lot of different things to make a bracha? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh b'neihem min shiv'a, alav u'mevorech. If you have one of the shivat aminim of Eretz Yisrael, that has kidima. We're now switching to kidima b'brachot. We already saw in the introduction to this sugya, we talked about that a little bit. V'chachamim omrim mevorech al eze mehem sheyirtzeh. You make a bracha on whatever you like best. Yirtzeh doesn't mean whatever you simply selected random, which is the way we'd use it today. Whatever, whatever. It's not whatever. It's whatever you want. Exactly. So that's the chavivut of your desire for the thing, which we saw before in the disastrous Bar Kapora story. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Al davar she'en gedolo min ha'aretz kegon, basar be'imot, chayot, ve'ofot, ve'dagim, and all of these things you say shakol nieh bedvaro. On milk, on eggs, on cheese, and all the omeshar kol. How about ala pach ipshay? We have another interesting case where you have bread that has now turned moldy. It's not inedible. But a lot of people wouldn't eat it at this point. It's got those first, simonim of mold. Ala yayin chi cream, you've got wine that now has got already starting to turn. Ala tafshil shavat surato. This does not smell too good. Yeshiva guys eat it maybe because they're used to it. But regular people wouldn't eat it. Then you no longer make the bracha that was miyuchat for the tafshil. You say a shahako. Ala melach, ala zamit, al kmeinu pitriot, and on those good old mushrooms and truffles, you say a shahako. Say a shahako on mushrooms? Are you trying to tell me that mushrooms are not called gidule karka, Richie? Mushrooms. The Tamatanya anoder mi peirota aretz, asur bi peirota aretz, umutar bichmeimu pitriot. If you talk about fruit of the earth, then that's the only thing you asur on yourself. Then you can eat mushrooms. But if you say, kol gidulei karkalai, anything that it comes, that is grown from the ground is asur on me, you can't even eat mushrooms. Which makes it clear that mushrooms are considered to be gedulei karka. And if they're gedulei karka, why can't you make a bari pri adama on them? Omer Abaye, wait a second over here. Mirva rovu miara. They do grow from the ground. They obviously derive nutrients from the ground. But minke lo yanke miara, they don't have a root system. And they don't draw moisture from the ground. They can breathe. Things that will grow from moisture that's on the ground, that has fallen on them. So there, you can't say the borei priyat. Wait a second. It said, ein gidulo min ha'aretz. You're trying to tell me they're not gidulo min haaretz. But it said the Feirush in the Braita before. If ain gidulo min haaretz, that asr's kamein would be drowned. Why? Yeah, it's to change that to read davar she'eino yoneit min haaretz, I guess. The alaha novlot. What are novlot anyway? Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi La have an argument about this. Chad omer novlot are bushle chamara. What they are, they are fruit that basically have been burned by the sun to such an extent that they no longer have a good taste.
No,
they're burned on the tree, basically. And the weather was too hot, and they got ruined from the heat. So that would make sense, and we're talking about something that's a min klala, if Rav Yehuda is referring back to them, as we'll point out in a minute. Whereas the other man, the Omer, says, time of Zika. They're basically dates that have fallen off the tree early because there was wind and they fell off the tree. Now, wait a second. The Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda Omer, kol shehu min klala, ein levarchin alav, which seems to be referring back to all of the previous things mentioned in the Mishnah, the gobai and the novlot included, the chometz. So if you learn, like the Man Yomer says, bush lechomara, that is gemin klala, where the sun burns your peirot. But Man Yomer tami de zika, it's not called a min of a klala here. So why would that be called ala klala? No, I mean, enochinami, according to him, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't referring to that. He was referring to the other cases. He didn't say all of the above cases are min klala. He just said, on a min klala, we don't make a bracha. Ikari Amri, others read this like this. On the contrary, the Bandi Omar who holds that they're fruit, it's just that they're not the highest quality fruit. Okay, so at least I make a shahakol. According to the Bandi Omar, it says, Tami de Zika. Shahakol? I understand, they're regular fruit. I mean, who cares if they're not completely developed? I mean, you should say a bore create to violate bevruche. Ooh, that's true. I mean, before we said bishiyotziu, that's really early on. So tamid azika are fruit. You're right. Sorry. Novlot actually, in general, novlot for sure mean bush lechamara. They're overly ripened. Keep pligi benovlot tomorrow. Well, actually, we got confused. There is a Mishnah in Demai that refers to novlot, but not just plain novlot, but rather novlot tamara, it calls them. Novlot tamara, indeed, are tamarim. There we have the shita, that it's a reference to tamarim that have blown off the tree. What am I referring to? I'm referring to a Mishnah in Demai, where it says, hakalim shed bidmai. There's various species that the Chachomim were making on. They said, even if you buy it from an Am Haaretz, these things are so cheap and so nafutz that, I mean, even an Am Haaretz is going to take off Meiser from them. It's almost worthless. Why not? You know, normally we're afraid that financial loss is overwhelming. These are Kalim Shebidmai, such as Shitin, or Rimin, or Ozardin, or Benot Shoach, or Benot Shikma, or Gufnin, or Nitzpa, or Novlot Tamara. Now here's where we add the Machloket, because what are all of these things anyway? Shitin, so starting from the beginning, Rabbi Bar Bachana explains in Rabbi Yochanan's name, it's a type of a te'ina. Rimin are what's called in Aramaic candy. Ozardin is what's called tulshi, it's a type of little berry. Benot Sholach, said Rabbi Bar Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan, those are called te'ini chivarti, those are a whitish fig that are never, not really all that tasty. Benot Shikma, Rabbi Bar Bachana quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, this is a reference to dubli. Gufnim are actually from the vine, but they're shile gufni. They appear at the very end of the season. They never ripen. Parcha, the natspa is parcha, what we talked about, the caper berries, or the whatever the parcha was earlier. Novlot mara, years where we got mixed up. This was the machlokas between Rabbi Lon and Rabbi Zeir that we quoted on our Mishnah, where it never was a machlokas on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah never mentioned novlot tomorrow, mentioned novlot. So our Mishnah definitely was the sunburned fruit, And where we're talking about the Kalim Shevet Mai, that's where Chad Amar Bushle Kamara, V'chad Amar Tamid Azike. You know, actually, if you hold like the Madi Amar Bushle Kamara, I understand why it says about Kalim Shevet Mai that all of these cases, if it's your Misupak, if someone took off Meiser, so it's Potter. But if it would Mashmoutin, Havada Am Chayav, if you knew for a fact that he never meisered them, you'd have to take off meiser, of course. If the din is referring to Tamar de Zika, why would Vada'an be chayav? They're only hefker. Because things that are blown off the tree, we have an assumption of Yiyush Ba'alim, because anybody can come along and pick them up. And therefore, they're not chayav and meiser for another reason. They're not chayav because they're hefker anyway. And therefore, to include them under the Kalim Shebet Mai, where the only reason we're being made is because we assume the owner has meistered them, but if we know for a fact they aren't meistered, you're going to tell me that Tamid and Zika are included in that. They are not included in that. Because Tamid and Zika, if I know for a fact we're never meistered, I don't have to meister them because they're putter anyway. We'll have to say, according to that Mandi Omar, that it's talking about you collected an awful lot of these things and made a pile of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Why what?
Why did you do
it? Ah! That is a brilliant question. And fortunately, we have with us here many people who have been attacked in the past by aliens. What?
He's now made it Arnold.
I know. It's amazing how often people do this, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, life is wonderful until we just make piles of it, and then it happens. So over here he made a Gorin, and Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan quotes now Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as saying that even though an Ani, who's collected Leket, Shikha, and Peya, generally speaking, these things are not Chayev in Meiser, if he makes a pile of it and turns it into a Gorin, Hukbul Lamaser, actually he now has to take off Maser from it. So that would have to be the case if you hold we're talking about the time of the ZK. Now, there's another way in which we ask the opposite question. That would explain the language. Why do we, in Demai, we say one thing, and in Brachot, we say another thing? Because we're talking about two different things. Novlot in Brachot is Bushli Chamara. Novlot in Tamara is time of the ZK. Okay, now I understand. So according to him, it's time of the Halkikar Le Novlot, Stama, was there in Demai, they called them Novlot Tamara. But according to him, the Amra holds that even Novlot Tamara are also Bushle Kamara, then they're the same thing as the Novlot and the Mishneh and Brachot. Then make up your mind, are these Novlot or are they Novlot Tamara? So then, Nitne Idi V'Idi Novlot Tamara, Novlot Stoma. How do you want to refer to this? Kasha. All right, that's a problem. It's obviously not a fatal problem because you can easily see the way out of that, right? Because, I mean, over here in Brachot, we're trying to refer to a concept. Over there, we're referring to a list of species. And the list of species, we're going to be mentioning the Tamara because that's where this occurs very often. When it comes to Brachot, the concept could be applied to anything that was in that particular...
Novelist from grapes?
Whatever would be the equivalent thing, if it's burned or not.
Common is grapes.
Well, we're not according to Mandi Omar, who holds that it's Bush Lake
Amara. They're all Bush Lake.
So Bush Lake Amara, there would be other things certainly you could imagine could be damaged by the sun. Right. Tomorrow morning, gentlemen, and don't forget it's Rosh Chodesh, which means we begin a bit later, 8:25. For Richie, we begin at 8:10. For David Solomon, we begin at 8.
Yeah.